There seems to be a growing debate in MGTOW circles about what the root cause of our problems are. Primarily, it's a debate about where biology stops and culture begins. Anything innate to the organism is biological, and anything external to the organism, including environment and technology, should be considered learned behaviour or culture, even if it's a case of that environment and technology ultimately modifying those innate behaviours in ways that we can't really be said to control. The most cogent definition I've heard in this context is that biological behaviour is something that is uniform to all humans, like a need for food, I guess, as opposed to something that will differ depending on time, environment, or technological level, like how a person gets their food. To me, this argument seems to be something akin to a Cartesian dualism of biology, the idea that somehow the organism is biologically separate to the environmental ecosystem that it must survive in, that somehow the expression of behaviour can be seen to exist in a vacuum. The problem is that a behaviour is the active expression of an organism reacting to something. An environment sets real physical limitations on how an organism actively expresses behaviour in a way that couldn't be described as learned. For instance, in John Calhoun's mouse utopia experiment, which studied the behavioural impacts of overpopulation, as the experimental mouse population density grew, doubling every 55 days, the behaviour of the mice started to change drastically. The females became violent, and the males withdrew from social interaction entirely and started acting in a very solitary manner. There's really no reason to try and invoke some type of learned mouse culture to explain this phenomenon. It's a fairly straightforward case of their innate behaviours manifesting differently given different environmental conditions. To the extent that the culture and learned behaviour types wish to define biological behaviours as being innate to the organism, it would seem fair to say that this behaviour is innate to mice given those environmental conditions of overpopulation. And personally, I don't see why the expression of behaviour within certain environmental conditions should be treated any differently with regards to the human ape. You can argue learned behaviour until you're blue in the face, but the fact is, no amount of re-education is going to change the hard limits of the physical environment a person must deal with in order to survive. A tribesman living in the jungles of West Papua cannot just duck down to Woolworths to grab a microwave chicken dinner, and an inner-city New Yorker can't just grab a spear to go and hunt elk in Times Square. And therein lies the problem with invoking this Cartesian dualism of biology rather than treating a human society, including its environmental and technological conditions, as a holistic biological ecosystem. In case after case, as a nation industrializes, we see the same thing, from North America to the Far East and every society in between. We see the divorce rate skyrocket, we see the incursion of politically correct policies to protect the women folk, we see social expansion built on debt. This is what Stardust has rather acutely dubbed monoculture. As these vastly different environments begin to homogenize through common technology, so too do the behaviors of humans within those environments. And what we see emerging is a single monolithic culture spanning all continents, all races, and previously incompatible social philosophies. The uniformity and predictability with which we see human behavior homogeneously change as a society industrializes is equally consistent as we see with the behavioural change in the mouse utopia. To call one biological and the other cultural is to make a philosophical division which I don't think exists. As far as culture is concerned, the real question here is to what extent can we willfully modify our environment? When released into a larger environment with a lower population density, the mouse behaviours should start to normalise themselves in accordance with that new environment. But what about humans? There are cultural elements that arise from these technologies. For instance, there is a car culture, and within that there are subcultures like vintage car clubs and drift racing. But the technology of motor vehicles themselves are no longer simply a cultural construct or learned institution. Back in the 1920s, it may have been a symbol of cultural status to own a motor car, but over the last century, these technologies have modified our environments in real physical ways. With decentralized farming and megacities consisting of populations well into the tens of millions, we can't just unlearn our dependency on these technologies. We have literally become biologically dependent on them in a very real survival capacity to manufacture and transport our food. The population density of Manhattan is 25,846 people per square kilometre, which rounds out to about one person every 36 square metres. In other words, if you equidistantly stood everyone from Manhattan in a giant paddock, each person would have roughly a 6x6 metre grid to survive in. To put that into perspective, a safe grazing or stocking density considered for adult merino sheep is about 60 animals per hectare, or 180 kilogram sheep per 167 square metres. Keep in mind, we're not talking about comfortable living here. We're talking about a maximum safe stocking density for farmed animals of a similar body mass to humans. The division of what constitutes culture and what constitutes innate biology reacting to a physical environment is a division which is impossible to make at this point because most humans in the industrialized world are already living far beyond the means of what a so-called natural environment could possibly sustain. What we call modern Western culture is the behavioral expression of the human ape surviving in that industrialized environment. Further to that, it's ultimately a useless division as well, because even framing modern technological life in terms of culture still means that a cultural change requires the rejection of modernity itself, which beyond being a bad option is just not feasible in a survival sense. This is the world's population for the last 1,000 years. The problem should be fairly self-evident just by looking at it. It holds pretty steady under a billion for a long time. Obviously, there are some very hard limits on what population size a specific environment can sustain. Then we get to the Industrial Revolution, and the population goes up exponentially. Following that was the advent of microprocessing, and again, the population accelerates at an explosive rate. A lot of people aren't aware of this, but the world's population has almost doubled to 7 billion people just since the introduction of affordable home computing in the 1970s. As with the West Papuan and inner city New Yorker, simply learning something new does not mean that you can surpass the physical limitations of the environment you must survive in. This kind of unparalleled population growth cannot simply be explained away by culture and learned institutions. What we are seeing here is the result of real physical changes to the biological ecosystem that human apes survive in. We literally cannot unlearn a dependency on these technologies and maintain the population level that we do now. I'm really hoping that this graph puts things into perspective for all the people gleefully waiting for some kind of societal crash. Our modern technological society is the only reason you're breathing right now. If we ran out of combustible fuel for transport and electrical generation tomorrow, and were technologically set back to a state of pre-industrialization, as much as 90% of the world's population could die out. At the core of the issue, whether you call it a holistic biological ecosystem, or in my opinion, misdefine it as a collection of cultural institutions, is irrelevant, because the underlying problems remain the same. At this point, we are dependent on these so-called cultural institutions for our very biological survival. They're not going away, and if we did experience some kind of societal crash or collapse tomorrow, believe me, an unfair family court system is going to be the least of our fucking problems at that point.